Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Awesome. 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 Are you ready for the Word? Okay, grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold those up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, we were in a series just before Missions Convention and Easter entitled Raising Kings. Let me just bring you back there of one more of the series I wanted to share with you today. I've entitled today, Think Like a King. Doesn't that sound good? Anybody? Think Like a King. You may be new to Life Church and you haven't been a part of the series or so, but here's what God's had us in the last few months. He's been talking to us about elevating, increasing, moving forward in our lives, that from January to next January, we will see that our lives have moved significantly forward and made real progress. Anybody excited about that? Amen. We are not going to go back to January and be the same people we were. We're going to be better, and we're going to have accomplished something more. Somebody say amen. Amen. But that's going to take action. It's going to take knowledge. It's going to take doing some things differently. And the Lord really has honed in on the fact that he wants us to be aware that he was not creating a religion when he came into the earth. He was building his kingdom, of which he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That you, when you were brought into faith, you didn't just add religion into your life. You were transformed. You were taken out of a kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of his dear son. You were made something. Kings and queens, nobility, solutions in the earth, representatives of heaven, empowered, full of authority. And so the Lord wants us to learn what we've become. As we've moved into a new kingdom, just like moving into a new city or a new territory, you have to learn the culture of that kingdom. You have to learn the ways and the systems so that you can get along and you can live and abound in that system. And so that's where we've been in Raising Kings. It's one thing just to tell you, I can get y'all excited and tell you that you've become a king or a queen, and we love that, but now it's time to actually raise them. It's just teaching, it's deliberate action and change and mindset changing, and that's where we are. And so today I want to talk to you about thinking like a king. So here in the book of Colossians, before I read the scripture to you, I have a foundational statement that I'm going to refer to again and again. I want to kind of insert it into your mind as a king or a queen. Here's today's statement that we're going to be going after three or four different ways, and it's just this: where you think determines what you think. From what place are you thinking? Are you thinking from a low level? Then that's going to determine what you think. If you think from a higher level, then you're going to have higher thoughts. Do you get that? Amen. And that's where we're going today. Where you're thinking from determines what you're thinking. Colossians chapter 3, let's start at verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul teaching. This is what he says. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. How many of you have been raised up with Christ? Anybody? See, you've already gone to another level and you don't even realize it sometimes. See, when you just thought you added Jesus to your life, you didn't realize you didn't just add Jesus to your life and you stay where you were. Come on now. That you've been raised up out of your old potential and placed into his potential. Amen. You've been raised up out of your old abilities and you've been placed into his abilities. See, when God puts you in his kingdom, when he brought you into his kingdom, you've already, not one day, not someday when you go to heaven, you've already gone to another level. Now it's time to realize where we've been placed. Now it's time to think from another level. You can't think like you used to think and get the results that you're capable of getting when you're on the higher level. Amen. Because where you think determines what you think. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, that's language of position. That's language of his throne. That's language of his authority. Amen? It didn't just say, hey, think heavenly thoughts. It didn't say, think of the golden streets and the mansions. It said, think higher. Think about where Jesus is seated, and he is seated far above all our problems and all of our trials and tribulations and demons and persecution and all that stuff. Think on a higher level. Think where he is seated. He was seated. The idea of him being seated was when he had finished his work. Isn't that awesome? See, he's already defeated everything that comes against you. He's already defeated sin. He's already defeated death. He's already defeated hell. He's already defeated the grave, and he's in that seated position. And the Bible's telling us here to think from that higher level, to continue to seek the things that are above where Christ is seated, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above. Whose responsibility is it to set your mind? Anybody? Our responsibility. Isn't that good? I have the power to tell my mind where to think from. And you see, where I think determines what I think. Which means I don't have to let my mind draw its wisdom from my past. Draw its wisdom from other people's opinion. I have the ability to set my mind where Christ is seated. I can think the thoughts of God and have the mind of Christ. Isn't that awesome? I can know the ways of God. Isn't that awesome? I have the capacity to set my mind. Let me say it like this. The devil doesn't have the ability to set your mind. So if you're letting the devil make up your mind for you, that's your choice. It's not because he's the one that has the power to do that, except for you're giving him to do that. You don't have to let circumstances set your mind. How many people set their expectation, set their hope, set their faith based on what's available in the natural? But you know what? That's not where you set your mind. You set your mind above what's available in the natural, and you draw from an unseen realm. You draw from a higher realm. Come on now, are you getting with me here today? But you see, you have to choose, because the gravitational pull of life will continue to make you think from the valley of the shadow of death rather than think from above the valley that you're walking through. See, your hope doesn't come from what's going on in that valley. Your hope comes from the Lord, amen. The wisdom, the ability, the authority, the weaponry, the tools, all of that is linked to where Christ is seated, amen. You have accesses to everything for life and godliness. Isn't that awesome? But you have a choice to make. Who is setting your mind? You've got to make sure you take that control back. Stop letting the devil set your mind. Stop letting trials and tribulations set your mind. Stop letting life circumstances set your mind. And you say, I will choose to set my mind. I will take my mind and my thoughts from a higher place. I will take my expectations from a higher place, because where I think determines what I think. If I'm thinking from the fog and the pain and the junk, then that's the level my answers are going to come from. But if I can draw from a higher place, my answers come from a higher place. Amen. And Paul is telling us here to set our minds on things above, not on the things that are going on the earth right in front of you. Amen. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Where have you been thinking from? That's the question right now. Have you been thinking from your own head? Just all that torment going on in your own head? Have you been thinking just from your own limited, finite knowledge, trying to solve your situation that you're in right now? Just with your own finite knowledge, your own physical education, your own past thoughts and things like that. Where are you thinking from? Do you realize you don't have to be limited to just get ideas from what you already know? You can reach into the mind of God. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You have the ability to reach into a higher place for your thoughts. Amen. Where have you been thinking from? From your own mind? Have you been thinking from your own heart? Do you know that our hearts can be full of hurt and pain? Our hearts can even lie to us at times about what's going on because of how it feels. Anybody have a heart that feels things sometimes? I do. And because that heart gets offended, or because that heart gets disappointed, if you're taking your thoughts from how your heart feels, then you're going to go in that direction. Are you understanding? Because where you think determines what you think. And so if my heart is hurting right now, it's really important that I learn how to set my thoughts and grab my mind from a higher place than where my heart is right now. Do you understand that? But I have the capacity to do that. But I have to ask myself, where have I been thinking from? Have I been thinking from my mind? Have I been thinking from my heart? Some of us, you've been thinking from your past for far too long. All of your expectations of the future are coming from what you've seen in the past rather than where Christ is seated from. Amen. And in your past, people disappointed you. In past, the world has hurt you. In the past, it's held you back. But you know what? Your past doesn't dictate your future. Your future is linked to Christ, of who is seated on a throne, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the King of the universe. Amen. So my thoughts, my hope, my expectation is linked to him and where he is and what he's accomplished. But I have to choose to think from that place, to set my mind in that place. It's time for some of you to let go of your past and stop letting your past dictate your future. But that's where you're setting your mind. You choose to set your mind. Where are you choosing to think from? Because where you think from determines what you think. If you're thinking from your past, don't you see how it's limiting your future? Wow. Amen. Some of us think from our personal experiences. Some of us are thinking from other people's approval. And if you're thinking and living for other people's approval, it's going to determine what you do. It's going to determine what you think. Where have you been thinking from? Your life goes in the direction of your most dominant thought. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Do you understand how our thoughts and what's going on and where we're taking our thoughts from and our cues from, it becomes where our life is going? Let me give you an example of how shifting your thought, of how shifting from one place to another can change the direction of your life. It's the one of them is this, moving past the idea of I was a sinner, thinking from that expression, thinking from that level, that I'm a sinner just saved by grace, into shifting and setting your mind on a higher level, saying I am a son and daughter of God, and thinking from that place. See, too many people are continuing to draw their thoughts from the fact that they're just sinners. That's all they ever are. They're just sinners that are forgiven. And we've not ascended to take our position where he seated us with him in heavenly places, that you've become the body of Christ. Do you not know you are the temple of God? God has a lot higher thoughts about you than, oh, you're just a sinner barely holding on. But if you think that way, if you put yourself in that posture of I'm just a sinner saved by grace, barely holding on, then you never grow into anything else, because every day is just survival, not wanting to go to hell, rather than becoming a son or daughter saying, I am salt, I am light, I have answers, I make a difference. See, I wake up ready to change the world. This person wakes up just wanting to get to heaven. Do you understand the difference? And it's all based on where they've set their mind. Amen. You know, it's wonderful to value the forgiveness of sins. It's wonderful to thank the Lord that our sins, though they were as scarlet, he has washed as white as snow. Somebody say amen to Jesus for that. Amen. But do you want to know something? That Jesus didn't come and die for your sinful past. I know that's a shock. That's part of it. But Jesus came and died to give you a hope in the future. And to do that, he had to deal with the sinful past. Do you understand that? So we start linking into why we were saved, thinking from a higher position and place other than just, oh, I just need forgiveness. That's all I need. That's one level, and God wants to shift you to another level, to set your mind on a higher thing, a higher vision for your life. You've become something. You weren't just forgiven when you gave your life to Jesus. You've become something. You've become an heir of righteousness. You've become royal and noble. You've become the body of Christ. And now learning how to live from that place, this is why so many Christians are stuck and in circles, because they're still living in this I'm just a sinner mentality. And when you see yourself as a sinner, you don't see yourself as a solution in the world. Do you see that? Because you see all of your problems and all your issues, and you can never move on to help this world. God wants to move you up out of what you were and help you realize who you are now, so you can grow in that, so you can make a difference in this life. He has filled you with his Holy Spirit, not just so you can get over a little bit of sin, but so you can dominate the devil and push back some darkness while you're alive. Amen. But it's about setting your mind. The devil just wants to talk about your past. The devil just wants to talk about your sin, because he doesn't want you to realize your present future. Amen. Is anyone else excited about this? Man, I'll be excited all by myself if I have to. That's all right by me. Amen. Where you think determines what you think. I have a few different chairs here that I want to talk to you about today because they illustrate different maturity levels as we grow up in God, as we kind of move from one level of thinking to another level of thinking. The first one is this of a high chair. Now, there is a time in our lives, in our Christian life, where we are babies. We are born again, the Bible says. And there's an appropriate time where we really need to focus on a bunch of stuff that's going on in our lives. But we need to also realize if we're sitting in this high chair after years and years and years, something's wrong. Amen. Even in the natural, right? If that baby never grows up, then something is not right. It wasn't meant to stay in that place. Now, a Christian who continues to sit and draw their thinking, because where you think determines what you think. And so if you're sitting in this high chair, this place of immaturity, this place of, let's use this illustration, babies, though they're cute, though they're chubby and adorable, do you know these babies are some of the most selfish creatures on the face of the earth? It's all about me, amen. That world, that universe of the house revolves around them. Mom and dad, I will tell you when you sleep. Mom and dad, I will tell you when you eat. Mom and dad, I'll tell you whether or not you're gonna wear clean clothes today because I may throw up on them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I mean, this baby is the center of the universe. But you know, some Christians, as even though they've been in church for years, they still think they're the center of the universe. They still live in selfishness. You see, this infant mentality has this mindset in it that says, feed me, change me, protect me. It's somebody else's job to feed me, to change me, and to protect me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, in the beginning of your Christianity, yes, there are people that come into your life and help you grow up and help you learn about Jesus, but maturity, thinking from a higher place, becoming the fullness of what you were born to become, at some point, you're gonna have to learn how to feed yourself. And you can't blame someone else for your malnutrition. You can't blame the pastor. Oh, if the pastor's preaching was better. Now, I know that's not true. I mean, let's be real. If the pastor preached better, oh, if this person would have said that, if this person would have called me when I needed them to call, as if it's somebody else's responsibility to feed you all the time. Let's grow up and let's learn how to feed ourselves. Let's learn how to open our own Bible. Let's learn how to get revelation ourselves, amen. Let's learn how to get some discipleship that we go pursue rather than having to be pursued by others all the time. Because I'm putting away that childish thing. I don't want to live in that high chair forever. You understand what I'm saying? See, in a high chair, you may dominate one or two people, mom and dad, for a little while, but you'll never dominate the earth until you learn how to get out of that high chair and stand up like a man or a woman of God. Amen. See, a baby says, feed me, oh, the church isn't feeding me. Well, then open your own Bible. Amen. Oh, feed me, change me, change me. And I'm not just talking about dirty diapers, although sometimes it feels like that's what we're doing around here. Changing messes. But you know, it's not somebody else's responsibility to change you either. There comes a point where you desire change and you see mess in your life and you change yourself. Amen. And you do things because you're mature and you're able to do it. You're able to realize it and you're able to do it. And then even protect. Now, we should bear each other's burden. We should support one another in prayer. And the Spirit of God is here, yes, to help protect us. But you know what? You also must learn the skills coming out of that high chair. Learn the skills how to stand against the devil and make him flee.
Yes. Amen.
To protect your home. Not, I better call pastor this, and I better call pastor that, and I need this person to come in. No, you stand up again, and you say, devil, get out of my house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I resist you, and you must flee from me. I do not give you access into my family anymore. I break your assignment over this house. See, it's not someone else's responsibility all the time to protect you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, God wants to protect you, but he's given you the tools. He's given you the armor. He's given you the weaponry, but you must use them. See, it's a very immature infant mentality that says it's someone else's responsibility to feed me, change me, and protect me all the time. But if you're sitting in this chair, where you think determines what you think. Amen. And so when you're thinking it's everyone else's fault that you're not growing, it tells me where you're thinking from. It's somebody else's fault because your life isn't changing. Then it tells me where you're thinking from. Another chair over here, now that's a high chair. This would be that of an easy chair. And for too many Christians, this is where they're thinking from. They think Christianity was meant to be easy. That if I'm serving God and there's covenants and there's blessing and there's authority, then it all should just go easy. That's their expectation. This is the chair they're thinking from. Thus, it's determining their thoughts. And so the idea of doing things that are hard, the idea of self-sacrifice, the idea of saying no to their flesh does not compute. They even take the grace message and they completely mess it up, thinking that the grace message is about Christianity being easy. And so when things do get hard, when there is a battle, when there is opposition, when there is trials and tribulation, when there is work to be done, they run away. They're like, this isn't what I signed up for. For some reason, they thought that coming into Christianity, coming into faith in Christ, that it was supposed to be, if I start going to church, if I start reading my Bible, if I start giving offerings and paying my tithes, then money should just fall out of the sky for me. Oh, and people should just love me wherever I go. Oh, and I should get everything I want and every opportunity because there's a blessing on my life, which means they told me there's a blessing, so if there's a promotion, I should just get it. And there's no work involved. There's no pursuit involved because in their mind, they've expected everything to be easy. Now, you're setting yourself up for great disappointment. Does anyone say amen to that? Come on now. But it's true. Where they're thinking from determines what they think. Why are they so offended? Because there's been a battle. Why are they so discouraged? Because it's taken longer than they thought. It's because in their mind, they thought it should have been easier than this. And where you think determines what you think. Man, I've been paying my tithes. I've been going to church. How could I lose my job? Well, because people lose their jobs. Because life can be tough. Because there's an enemy sometimes that steals your job. But sometimes it's not even the enemy. Sometimes it's just life. Is this making sense? See, we forgot whole passages of scripture where people had covenant. People had the promise of God. People had God's favor, man. God's blessing. He said, you're my kid. You're the apple of my eye. And he promises them things like Canaan land, right? But you know, when they crossed the Jordan to go get the land flowing of milk and honey, they had to deal with giants. They had to deal with Jerichos. Come on now. And if I could think of something else that rhymed like a J, I would say that too because it would go really well. Giants, was it just a G? Jericho. Never mind, people. You know what? Sometimes my humor is just for me and Jesus. That's okay. But we forget that they had to go do some battling, right? And they were in the will of God. They had promise. They had blood covenant. Those cities belonged to them, but they had work to do. And we don't realize that. Sometimes we're so upset that we have to pray and push through or that we have to do some warfare, that we have to, and we pull back from the promise. You know, Paul and Silas were in the will of God, and they were thrown in prison for doing the right thing. How many times does the devil get up in our head and to say to us these lies or these concepts that we're just like, I don't understand what's going on. I'm doing everything right. Why am I going through so much trouble right now? It's because you're thinking from an easy chair. Are you understanding this? Rather than just pushing back on life, just pushing back on the stuff, saying, you know, this too shall pass. It's just part of the process. Come on now. But it's because you started from the wrong position. You're thinking from a lower level rather than from a higher level. Paul and Silas, and let's not forget this wonderful illustration, the cross, which is the will of God for Jesus, which accomplished great and mighty things, but it wasn't easy. And so if we think Christianity was meant for our lives just to be cushy and easy, no, it's going to take work. It's going to take choice and decision and discipline. So don't expect to be sitting in an easy chair in Christianity. That's not what Christianity was meant for. Amen. I can even see this mentality affect people when it comes to sin and their expectation about sin. You know, again, they've taken the grace message and they think, well, grace allows me to get almost as close to the edge as possible and just not go to hell. See, in the easy chair, you want to think about what makes me happy or what makes me feel good, and Christianity should make me happy, and Christianity and God should make me feel good, and I shouldn't have to do things that I don't want to do, like say no to my flesh, like say no to myself, to make my eyes not look at certain things they shouldn't be looking at, to forgive someone that I don't want to forgive. And there are too many Christians that are living from an easy chair mentality because they want to know what can I do and get away with it and still go to heaven. But you know what? That's not maturity. And that's not going to bring you the full potential of who you are. If you're just living the easy life of Christianity because of cheap grace and, oh, what can I do and just still not go to hell? I don't care if I can get away with this. I'm not looking at what I can get away from. I'm looking at how much I can become as a child of God. How far away from the kingdom of darkness can I live? How much greater can I be? It's not just about what's easy and just getting into heaven like a moth through a flame or by the skin of my teeth, but how much can I become and turn into the image of Jesus? How much of his authority can I live? How can I do some damage to hell? Are you understanding what I'm saying? And yeah, that's going to take work. That's going to take study. That's going to take self-discipline. That's going to be saying no to some stuff, but that's hard. And I'm okay with that because I don't expect Christianity to be easy. There's going to be times that I want to go to church, but I'm going to go to church for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Family, we're going to get to church, right? I want to go to church. There's going to be times I want to do something else with my money other than give it to missions or other than giving it to church. But you know what? I'm going to give it to the kingdom anyway because that's what God would have me do. Is that going to send me to hell? No, but it's not about what's going to send me to hell. It's about doing the best for my life. It's about doing those things sometimes my flesh doesn't want to do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's times I don't want to worship. It would be easier to sit home in my pajamas. You know what I'm saying? Not to dog you all on television, on TV right now, but you know, it could be easier just to sit back and relax, but I'm going to get my family up in the middle of winter when it's still frozen outside in the middle of April. Somebody say, Jesus, help me. You know what I'm saying? And it's still cold and it never goes away. And we live in Narnia. You know what I mean? And it's just like it's freezing outside. But yet we're going to get up. We're going to put our coats on. We're going to get every kid in their coat on and their snowsuits on, their shoes on. Then they're going to say they got to go to the bathroom. We got to take it all off. And we got to bring them to the bathroom. And then we got to put it on again. And we're going to get to church anyway, and it's not easy, but we're going to the house of God, amen. Come on now. Because, you know, I wasn't looking for an easy chair. And I'm not living in that high chair, somebody say amen. I've been placed on a throne. And this takes work and discipline, and this takes excellence. And this takes you getting out of that chair and not expecting that chair. The thought that goes through the mind of the ones that sit on the thrones, the dominion, the sons and the daughters, the kings of the earth. They have the mindset of personal responsibility. I love that word, responsibility. Amen? See, they have the mindset that says, I will reap what I sow. Which means if I don't sow anything, I don't blame anybody else for the lack of reaping in my life. See, that chair blames somebody else for what's not happening in their life. But this chair says, if I want to grow, I'm going to sow. This chair says, if I want my life to be significant, I'm going to do things of significance. This chair isn't making, you know, excuses that someone else should have changed my life. This church is taking responsibility, saying, I have the power to bring change into my life. I am connected to the Spirit. I'm connected to the mind of God. Are you hearing me? That chair knows it's possible, but they're not willing to do the work. This one knows what they need to do and is willing to do the work. Come on now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, for it says, for he has raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places. That's where you are currently. That's not what happens when you die. That's where you're positioned when you give your life to Jesus. I am not making stuff up when I say you're sitting on a throne in Christ, which his throne is far above every principality and power and darkness and ruler in this world. That's why I set my mind where I've been seated with him in those heavenly places. That's where I draw my faith. That's where I draw my potential. That's where I draw my expectation. Remember, the gravitational pull of your life will make you want to think from down here. You set your mind, say, no, I'm not going to bring my answers from the crisis. I'm going to bring my answers from above the crisis. That's why it doesn't make sense when you ask a Christian, how are you doing? And they say, I'm fine under the circumstances. What are you doing under the circumstances? Your answer comes from above the circumstances. Your solution comes from above the circumstances. Go get with God, get your answer, and it will raise your life up above the circumstances. But no, that's not easy. That's hard. Then get out of the easy chair. Come on, somebody. That takes time. That takes effort. I know, right? It's called learning how to lead. Aren't you glad you came to church? See, sitting in this chair says, I'm willing to do what needs to be done, regardless of how I feel and regardless of the fame. That chair won't do it because it just wants to feel good, and so does that one. And this chair wants everything to be about them, so they do care about the fame. And that chair wants glory as well, but wants it to come easy. They want big ministry. They want blessings and money, and they want it all to come to them without any work. This chair says, I'm willing to do what needs to be done regardless of how I feel and regardless if I get any credit for it. Because this world needs me. This world needs, I was given authority for a reason. Not just to look good, but to do good. Come on, church. This is where we as a Christian people, we need to start waking up. Jesus did something for us, and he didn't just forgive us of our sins. He empowered us to be the change agent of the world. But we have to take responsibility, and if the world isn't changing, it's not someone else's fault. We take responsibility regardless of how we feel. There's times I don't feel like being the salt and the light, but I know I need to be a light at work anyway. There's times I don't feel like doing the right thing. I feel like doing the Italian thing. But I choose to do the Jesus thing. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians, talking about this idea of the throne that we've been set with Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8, I'll read it to you quickly, 3 through 9. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. You see, as you mature, as you take your seat in leadership, you start living to help others. See, again, this chair only thinks about what's good for themselves. See, that's an immature attitude. But as you mature, you begin to say, I'm here to serve other people. I'm not worried about me. God's going to take care of me. I need to take care of this world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also to the things of others. Let this mind be in you. You have to give permission for this thought to penetrate your thoughts and become your thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, so basically in his position, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even the death at the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. Can you say amen to that? Basically, the principle there is this. With Jesus in his position and his glory and his authority, he didn't just sit around on his throne saying, wow, look how glorious is my position. Look how powerful I am. But he went down and he got involved to help the hurting world. And he did it regardless of whether or not he felt like it or they even appreciated his sacrifice. That's what kingdom leaders do. Can I hear an amen on that? See, he wasn't looking for it to be easy, and he wasn't looking for self-preservation. He did what needed to be done regardless of whether or not he got any praise or people understood it. That's what I'm saying. If you want to be a spiritual leader in the world, if you want to lead and think from this chair, then you're going to do what needs to be done regardless of how you feel and regardless if there's any fame for you. You're going to do the right thing because it's the right thing. It's what the world needs from you. It's what the people at your work need from you. It's what the school system needs from you. It's what your family needs from you. And it doesn't matter if they even say thank you or they even understand why you're doing it, because spiritual leaders lead because they're obeying God and they're doing it for God. They're not doing it for themselves. They're not doing it because it's easy and they feel like it. They're doing it because it's the right thing and it needs to be done. Can somebody say amen on that? There's a lot of times people don't applaud or praise you for making the right decision, but you know it's the right thing to do and you do it. That's maturity, amen. I mean, how many times as parents, you provide everything for your kids and they don't even say thank you, you know what I mean? I mean, I love those kids, they're great, mwah. But they don't sit there and sing how great thou art to mom and dad. Then sings my soul, how great thou art. Normally it's, what else can we get from you, mom and dad? You know what I mean? How can we squeeze you a little more? But you don't do it for the thank you. They need those things. And so you're willing to go to work and do what needs to be done to take care of that. That's maturity. And so, you know what? People may not applaud you. They may not praise you. They may not even thank you for your sacrifices and your choices, but God sees everything. And the one who sees in secret is the one that will reward you openly. Come on, someone celebrate Jesus for that. Amen. Another thought, that of taking responsibility and that thought of doing the right thing, whether you feel like it or you get fame. Another thought that comes into the mind of those that sit in this chair, you've been given position, you've been given authority. You begin to realize that I also want to continue to grow and improve and become a better spiritual leader. There's this personal drive on the inside that says, I want to grow from one degree of glory to another. I'm not just okay that Jesus sat me in this chair. I now want to learn how to be the best leader in my zone that God has called me to be. There's all kinds of people that were born into their royal family, but there's some that stand out because they became exceptional leaders based on their decision to become exceptional leaders. Others, yeah, they inherited a bunch of stuff, but they didn't make great impact or great difference. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So those of us, I'm saying there's a lot of people, all of us that are born into the kingdom of God and we've been placed into seats like this, there will be those that will step out beyond the crowd of those Christians because they're going to push themselves to become the best version of themselves that they can be. They're not satisfied with just I was given authority, but they're wanting to stretch themselves and now take that authority and become excellent with that authority and in their leadership. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, it says, by means of these, he has bestowed on us precious and exceedingly great promises. So God's given us great promises. So that through the promises, you might escape by flight from the moral decay. So our world's full of moral decay, rottenness and corruption. We know that. That is in the world because of covetousness, which he defines as lust and greed. And we become sharers, partakers of his divine nature. That's where we are now, becoming partakers of his divine nature. For this reason, and listen to this language, adding your diligence. So now this is your effort. So your position and your partakers of the divine nature that was given to you by God, but now you have something to do. Adding with your diligence to those promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue. Do you see the progression here? You have been given the divine nature, you have been given position, but now you have to employ your diligence to increase in your areas of virtue. It defines the word virtue, I love this, with the word excellence, resolution, Christian energy. Do you know we can make a choice? And I believe real leaders, spiritual leaders, make a choice to say, I can become even more and more excellent in every area of my life. I can become excellent in my relationships. I can become excellent in my finances. I can become excellent in the way I treat people. But you understand, not every Christian has that ambition, but you can, right? The Christians have been placed in certain chairs, but there's certain people who will take those chairs and they will push themselves to be excellent in that position. Amen. I love Daniel in the Bible. One of the things I love about Daniel was he had a spirit of excellence on him. That can be you. That can be me. But God is not going to make us excellent. We decide to be excellent. Does that make sense? Like, yes, we're perfected in his blood, but all the potential and all that's going to take our diligence, going to take our energy to continue to learn and develop all those things in the fullness of what they can be. So he says, add excellence, Christian resolution, Christian energy. And in your virtue, exercising that virtue, now begin to develop your knowledge. See, that's what a good leader does. That's raising kings. See, in that position, you're not wanting to develop your knowledge. You're wanting everyone to think, and you're wanting everyone to give you everything and spoon feed you everything. In this chair, you're developing knowledge. In that chair, you don't want to read any books. In that chair, you don't want to do anything that would put you out and keep you from watching Netflix. You see what I'm saying? In this chair, you want to grow. And therefore, you're willing to do the work because it's your responsibility. I'm in a position, and if I'm not a great leader for my assignment, then I'm letting the people I'm meant to lead miss out. I have to be accountable to the life I was given. I'm accountable to the opportunities that came in my way. Was I prepared for them or not? Success happens when preparedness meets opportunity. If I'm not prepared, I'm not going to be able to succeed with my authority, even though I have it. You need to get this and listen to it again. Because there's a lot I'm saying right now, and I just want to make sure you're hearing it. It says, adding to your knowledge, develop self-control. That's you developing your self-control. And your self-control develops steadfastness, which is patience and endurance. Steadfastness now develop godliness and piety. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For all of these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you. And they will keep you from being idle and unfruitful. Why are certain Christians idle and unfruitful? They've been put in a position of authority. They've been given the name. They've been given the blood. They've been given the weapons. But it's because they haven't perfected those things. They haven't utilized those things. They haven't practiced those things and developed those things. They're still sitting in this. They've been given this position to have, but they're not taking advantage of it. I have a desire, and I believe you do too. I have an inner desire to be the best version of myself and not just go to heaven. Is anybody with me? Absolutely. I am not looking for ease or for comfort. I am looking to live a Christian life that makes a difference. Spiritual leaders and leaders on this planet are not looking for the easy road. They're not looking for the simple. Visionaries are not looking for the easiest way to do things. They're looking to solve big problems, and they're willing to do the work to do that. I have a short speech from a leader from America's past that addresses this same spirit. Let's listen to this.
Well, we meet in an hour of change and challenge, in a decade of hope and fear, in an age of both knowledge and ignorance. The greater our knowledge increases, the greater our ignorance unfolds. Despite the striking fact that most of the scientists that the world has ever known are alive and working today, despite the fact that this nation's own scientific manpower is doubling every 12 years in a rate of growth more than three times that of our population as a whole, despite that, the vast stretches of the unknown and the unanswered and the unfinished still far outstrip our collective comprehension. If this capsule history of our progress teaches us anything, it is that man in his quest for knowledge and progress is determined and cannot be deterred. The exploration of space will go ahead, whether we join in it or not. And it is one of the great adventures of all time. And no nation which expects to be the leader of other nations can expect to stay behind in this race for space. There is no strife, no prejudice, no national conflict in outer space as yet. Its hazards are hostile to us all. Its conquest deserves the best of all mankind. And its opportunity for peaceful cooperation may never come again. But why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why 35 years ago, fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win, and the others too.
Amen. Why don't you go ahead and stand? You can celebrate that. Go ahead and stand. What I wanted you to catch in that video was people that bring change to a generation, they're not looking for the high chair or the easy chair. I love that line. Why go to the moon? We don't choose to go to the moon because it is easy. We choose to do those things because they are hard. And it's when people are willing to do what no one else is willing to do that we can make some progress in this world. Amen? That we can start to fix some things and to see some things that no other generation has seen. And so it's going to take a group of Christians rising up to say, look, our past Christians have done this and this and this, but we're willing to push the envelope and to see even more. We're willing to push ourselves to be more involved, to push ourselves to the limits of excellence and to develop ourselves to become everything Jesus paid for me to become. I don't want to leave anything on the table. Are you see what I'm saying? But that's you setting your mind, you making a decision. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And now that I've become a man, I'm done with childish ways, and I've put them aside. Putting away childish things in that moment, I love that. I want you to see that it had less to do with an age and it had more to do with his decision. Amen? I don't want to be a 40-year-old Christian living in Jesus' basement. I want to be doing something with my life. And it's not just, oh, I've been in church for 10 years. Have you made the decision to put away childish things yet? Have you made a decision to get out of the high chair? Have you made a decision to get out of the easy chair? Have you made a decision to sit in a chair of responsibility and to develop your talent and gifts and to get involved, whether you get praise or not and whether you feel like it or not? And we're doing it because it's hard and the world needs it and no one else is willing to do it. So here am I, send me. That's what world leaders do. Amen. That's you. I love this church because you're so strong and you're so able. But God has been challenging us this year to move from having potential and to start turning it into action. Amen? So today is about locating where you've been. First step number one, have I been in a high chair? Have I been selfish? Have I been a baby? Expecting everyone else to feed me, change me, protect me? Have I been in the easy chair? Expecting everything just to be easy? And the reason I'm so disappointed, I'm so complaining, is because it's been more difficult than I thought. Rather than outgrowing the challenge and overcoming the challenge, I've just been whining about it. Maybe it's because my expectation was that from the easy chair, it was all supposed to be easy. Or maybe we realize this is where we are, but it's time for us to start developing ourselves in excellence. We know we're capable of more, but it's a decision that we make to add to and add to and add to and add to and to become the best version of ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for this house. I thank you for the kingdom of God. I thank you that you have placed us in Christ in heavenly places. I thank you for the authority we've been given. I thank you for the position that we have, that it's not just about I was a sinner and that's what I am, but Lord, we are saved and we are sons and we are daughters, and we begin to develop our thinking in the household of God. We begin to develop our thinking not to what we were, but to who we are. And begin to move forward with our lives. I speak that over this house in Jesus' name. Now, God, we place our hands over our heart. Go ahead and do that. If we've been selfish, if we've been seeking the easy path, what can we get away with and just not go to hell? Lord, we ask for your forgiveness right now. We ask that you make us aware, put a mirror in front of us, and we repent and we say we're sorry. And we say, Lord, we take our place. We take our seat. Take our authority in Jesus' name. Now give us a wisdom of how to grow. Be the helper now. Help us to grow in our thinking. Help us to grow as we study, as we learn, as we read, as we get in mentorship, as we start practicing what we know. Help us to continue to become better and better. We let you, Holy Spirit, mature us and develop us. We set our minds. We pull them right now out of the fog or where we've been. We pull them right now out of the clamor of what we've been in, and we begin to think from a higher place. We begin to expect from a higher place. And we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.